And currently, we have 57 degrees now in Lynchburg, 55 in Bedford, 57 in Salem and Roanoke, and 57 in Danville.
Mark Doyle will be here. Doyle will be here in just a few minutes. He's going to help us talk about the fact that it's Police Appreciation Week. Mm-hmm. Normally, that's done in May, but it got bumped into October. We'll talk to him. So,
do you want your life hacks now?
Yeah, let's do a life hack
Thursday.
That'll be good. Yeah,
all
right,
let's do that. Well, since it's National Dessert Day,
gosh,
I thought I would.
Do we have to keep talking about it? And you didn't bring anything in, right?
No.
I don't see any desserts like on your side of the counter there.
No. Are you angry? Are you hangry? What is wrong? Well, I thought you'd be happy that it's National Dessert Day.
Well, I am happy. Well, I just haven't realized the dream yet.
Got it. All right. Well, one of my favorite things is I do love an Oreo.
Oh, yeah.
But if I'm going to eat an Oreo, I have to dunk it in milk. I have to.
All right.
Otherwise, I don't want it. If I can't have an Oreo with the milk, I don't want the Oreo.
Fair enough.
But I don't like getting my fingers down in the milk because it's yucky. So all you have to do is take your fork and stick it in between the cookie into the filling.
Right.
And then you dunk it down into the milk, and it's perfection. It's the perfect bite, and your hands aren't messy.
Well, see, I was using the little, what do you call them, the tongs?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
It's not the same thing?
No, it just doesn't work.
Nope, and it just slides right off the fork, and
it's
delicious. You are welcome, sir. You are welcome.
I prefer my Oreos now in a, McBlizzard or whatever you call them, the McDonald's version.
Yeah, when you mix it in. I just like an Oreo and a glass of milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the lemon Oreos.
Oh, I haven't had those
I think
yet.
They're good. I've got a dessert that I make with the lemon Oreos.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a trifle, but you use lemon Oreos instead. It's pretty good stuff.
Well, I
have a lot of kitchen hacks today.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
We'll have more.
Well, I have a hack for you. Nancy Pelosi.
There you go. Hey.
So she...
You could have gone much worse than that.
Well, that's true, this may be the quote of the week by Nancy.
Mm.
She's always got one in there. Let's sit back and enjoy.
Do you think you need to do a better job at messaging and going forward? How do you sell this if ultimately you have to...
Well, I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you, because every time I come here, I go through the list. Family medical leave, climate, the issues that are in there. And but it is true, it is hard to break through when you have such a comprehensive package.
That already wins line of the week. I half expected her to start lecturing that coffee is for closers and ABC always be closing. Now look, it provides a crystal clear glimpse into how Democrats expect the media to sell. They, as lawmakers, should be selling. But this can't be sold. It's like selling advanced playoff tickets for the New York Jets. It can't be done. In this spending bill's case, it's because the math, sorry, Jet fans, has never remotely added up. And Pelosi and the president and the press secretary keep saying this over and over again, that trillions in new spending will cost the American taxpayer $0.00. It will also reduce taxes and the debt. It's a bold-faced lie. It's insulting
to
anybody's intelligence. And Pelosi expects reporters to sell that.
Well, but she does.
She does.
She expects nothing less.
Get in line.
Than you straighten up and you do what I tell you to do. And she does. And look, we have her on tape talking about how she has used and manipulated the media to slur people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tactic. You know, you get out there and you allege something and then you get the media to repeat it. And then the next thing you know, it's a tactic.
This is on one of my hot cues. It's called the wrap-up smear.
The wrap-up smear.
And then we call it the wrap-up smear.
Uh-huh.
If you want to talk politics, you call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. Mm-hmm. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear. And then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic.
Yeah.
And she's very good at it.
And it's a tactic that she's used for a long time.
Yeah.
But this tactic is not working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this bald-faced lie is not working.
Yeah.
Because they know they're going to look stupid if they report that they're going to spend all this money, we're not going to be impacted, our taxes aren't going to go up, it's not going to come. It just, it makes no sense.
Right.
You would have to be an imbecile to believe that that's even possible.
Right.
So no amount of marketing, no amount of merchandising is going to make that fly.
Yeah.
Not even with these liberal press people.
Yeah.
Because they know you can't sell it. Because it literally is not possible for that to happen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They realize their credibility is has been out there, you know, on the plank for quite a while, and it's this. Yeah. Yeah. They can't even swallow this one. It's so outrageous.
I got a text in. It says the fact that it's difficult to sell, in quotation marks, bothers me. What do reporters want to sell? Yeah, they shouldn't be selling anything.
Mm.
You know? But I mean, to have her, for her to have the guts to come out and say, this is how we smear and lie about our competition, and to do it so matter-of-factly, is just diabolical.
Yep.
Without apology, she does that. It just, ugh, drives me crazy. So we were talking about, you know, things that these Loudoun County
parents
are going through and how they're fighting for their kids.
Sure.
You know, I don't think you're ever too old to do that. There is a story this week about a 70-year-old mother who's been put in jail because she refused to leave her daughter's side at the hospital.
Oh, wow.
This was in Jacksonville, Florida.
Hmm.
This mother spent a day behind bars after she refused to leave her daughter alone in the hospital. Her adult daughter is nonverbal and was recovering from brain surgery after a stroke.
Oh, wow.
The mother says her time in jail was worth it. She said, I stand by my actions 100%. I'm not sorry that I made them take me out in handcuffs. Lynn Savage refused to leave her daughter Amber while she was recovering from brain surgery at the University of Florida Health North. I could not in good conscience go and leave her bedside knowing how she was going to make it through the night. She says she's been by her daughter's side in the hospital since 6:30 in the morning. Savage was there not only for support, but also as her interpreter. She says the doctor came into her room in the ICU to try to help her daughter calm down. They finally came to her to see if she could get the daughter calmed down, which would be important, I would think, after brain surgery.
Yeah, sure.
As soon as I approached the bedside, she was fine.
Hmm.
Savage stayed until she was told she couldn't stay anymore. The nurse said visiting hours were over at 7, and I had to leave. I said, can you call the doctor? Because the doctor is the one that wanted to be in here with her to keep her calm. She said no. COVID rules said visiting hours were over at 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, apparently, it could only be transferred after 7 o'clock. Who knew?
Right.
A deputy sheriff from Stark County, Ohio, she knew would come of her as a former deputy.
Mm-hmm.
She knew that they would come.
Mm-hmm.
And security officers spent a couple of hours pleading for her to leave. Sheriff's office came up. She said they were polite. And she spent roughly 24 hours in jail.
Wow.
She said it was terrifying, that I'd rather be there than know that I'd walked away from my daughter. Daughter's still in recovery from surgery. She's facing trespassing charges.
Hmm. Wow.
Do you think that'll...
I think it's going to get thrown out. That seems...
I'm really surprised it went that far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, couldn't we have quietly... I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, I guess once they're called, the deputies have to do what the deputies have to do.
Sure.
Yeah. But, and she said they were kind to her, so I'm sure they understood what was going on. But that's a tough spot to be in.
Oh, sure.
For sure.
Sure. Well, we're going to be joined by with Mark Doyle. He's arrived in the studio. We're going to talk to him in a little bit, talking about, you know, this is Police Appreciation Week. We'll talk about, if he's allowed to talk about it. He had a late night last night because of an incident that happened. So we'll talk to him. We always want to honor our policemen and sheriff officers, the state troopers. They do such a good job under very, very difficult circumstances, Janet.
And like the one we just talked about.
Yeah, exactly. The one that we just talked about in a day where defunding the police is talked about a lot. But we're going to talk to Mark here in just a couple of minutes. You're on the Morning Jam.
It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam. Found the right choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
7:20 on the Morning Jam. My name's Mark Lamb. That's Janet Rose over there.
Yes, it is.
And Mark Doyle has joined us. He is the operations lieutenant over at Liberty University. You guys go through the same training that the Lynchburg police do, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
And you're certified just like they are. And this is a real police force. When I see you guys, as a matter of fact, if I'm going over the speed limit, even if I'm in the city, and I see one of you guys, I still slow down. It's just like, are they going to write me a ticket? I don't know. So how long have you been over there, Mark?
I started with Liberty in 2013 when I retired from the Marine Corps.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank
you. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is Police Appreciation Week. Normally happens in May. Pretty big deal that we set aside this time. I know it's a difficult time. We mentioned it going into the break to be in law enforcement. You know, you guys and gals leave the house every day not knowing, you know, what awaits you. You know, whether you will come back or whether you could, you know, be injured. You know, what's that like for you guys?
It's, you know, it's something that we know going into the job that this is a tremendous risk taking, you know, career line of work, you know, and it's always an unknown. You don't, you know, the situation can change from moment to moment. Mm-hmm. You know, one moment you're helping out a mental health situation,
right,
which seems to be increasing more and more.
Sure.
As we go on, I mean, this year our mental health case is up a lot,
and we're seeing that across the country.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, you can be doing a simple motorist assist, mm-hmm. you know, and it could ramp up real quickly. We had a situation like that. One of our officers went to go do a jump start for a young lady, and she was upset because she was given a parking citation for parking in the wrong spot. So it can mm-hmm. ramp up from just a simple jump start to,
right,
you know, trying to defuse a situation. So
it's a roller coaster ride for,
right,
sure.
You have to be able to, you know, move with the punches, basically.
Right,
you know?
Sure. Yeah. And you have a densely populated area on a small footprint.
Yes, we do. I mean, and you know, right now we have, you know, some 15,000 people on campus on a day-to-day basis, and you know, it's, our registration numbers are up,
mm-hmm.
So that has made things a little bit more difficult, and then obviously with the COVID, we've got, you know, our staffing issues are down, so so we have to deal with that.
Right.
So what made you choose this coming out of the Marine Corps? I mean, I know there's a lot of discipline that goes with it. Discipline, I don't quite understand. I appreciate it, though. You know, because you guys have to be on your game if you're in the Marine, and you're always a Marine, is what I've been told by other friends that are. But what made you decide to kind of stay in that same path and want to be in law enforcement?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, this being National Police Week, you know, it's a time that we take out to recognize those that have fallen.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a time when society respected law enforcement. That's kind of what led me into law enforcement. I know that growing up with Sesame Street, you know, they had the officer on the street. Mm-hmm. They always portrayed police officers as, you know, somebody who you could trust and to go to. And I remember in third grade, you know, having a little drawing and writing assignment, and I drew a little police car and made a little sentence that I wanted to be a police officer. And okay. So I think that's something that has always been ingrained in me. Mm-hmm. So when I joined the Marine Corps, I was an MP, so I did that for 28 years.
Oh, okay.
So law enforcement's kind of in my blood, but, going back to the recognition of police officers, it seems like with the defund the police and all those actions that we have now, it's a lot tougher for our law enforcement partners to stay in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough job.
You
work long hours. They're a lot of times spent away from your family.
Sure.
It takes
a very special woman.
Yes.
To be married to an officer. And kids, mm-hmm. and it just is. Sometimes we forget that.
Yeah.
But it is. It's really important.
Right. The stress is enormous. I know we hear about and we hate it when we lose a former, you know, service member to suicide.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Those numbers, Marco Galbraith has helped bring some of that to light for us. But the suicide rate, the divorce rate is pretty high among policemen too, isn't it?
It absolutely is, because of the stress that they're put under,
right?
You know, all the time, and you know, some people deal with it better than others. But
right.
You know, then that's why we have a relatively high turnover rate in the law enforcement community. People get into the business thinking that, you know, it's portrayed one way, but then when you see the other side and you're really dealing with a lot of emotional stress. Excuse me.
Sure.
Because when you interact with other people who are in crisis, that many times comes on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the brunt of that a lot of times, and mm-hmm. then of course you take on the negative
mm-hmm.
Interactions that you get as well. You know,
yeah, that's one of the things that somebody brought to light over this last year and a half was when you're involved in that incident, that data point, what led up to that person's crisis, mm-hmm. We don't necessarily get to hear. All we know is that they're at that point, and that's when they're in need of police, mm-hmm. or police are brought into the situation because, you know, somebody's reported, hey, somebody's beating the you-know-what out of his wife or whatever, and a lot of the domestic stuff. You all see probably some of the, almost like war in a sense,
sure.
the hard and difficult side of humanity. Mm-hmm. You're talking about mental health. How do you think it's changed in the last, you know, 20 years for policemen and police women to help them on their mental health side?
I think it's gotten tremendously tougher.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide our officers training in those specific areas. We have there's a 40-hour crisis intervention training that is offered on a periodic basis that helps the officers learn techniques,
mm-hmm.
To help diffuse the situation. And they talk about, you know, bringing in social workers to deal with these situations. But, you know, many times the police officer is the social worker who comes in to help diffuse that situation.
Right.
And then have to be able to, in an instant, put his other hat on, his cop hat on, his police officer hat on, and then take action if it turns violent.
You know? Sure.
So that's the hard thing about being a police officer.
Yeah. Because it's not, you know, like you say, in a split second, you've gone from being compassionate. Now you have to be in a defensive mode because somebody's life could be at stake, your life or the life of someone in those set of circumstances. That is.
And they don't have the luxury of having a bad day.
Right.
Right.
You don't, because everybody's got a cell phone now, and mm-hmm. everybody's, you know, automatically a victim, and that would be amount of stress alone would be really difficult to deal with, because I don't know how officers can stand being spoken to the way they are. I mean, people are just trying to get you to snap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that would be so stressful.
Sure.
To have to, because I know I couldn't do it. Mm. I just want to smack them,
right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
unfortunately, yeah, we have to have a thick skin, you know? And
right.
And yeah. You, so
but that, if you get a steady diet of that, at some point, you know, it's just, it's so much. Yeah. It's hard, yeah. Especially now.
Yeah. Well, policeweek.org is the website if you want to find out about what's going on. There's a candlelight vigil tonight, and then tomorrow, National Police Survivors Conference going on, and then Saturday, the 40th Annual National Police or Peace Officers Memorial Service will be held on Saturday. Your local, you know, municipalities are doing it differently. You know, check with your local police. One more thing, because we have about a minute left. What does it mean when, you know, somebody just comes up to you and says, hey, man, just thanks. Thanks for what you're doing on I don't know how often you get to hear that, Mark, but we're saying it right now
to
you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that really uplifts their spirits. And, you know, anytime that you can, that we can, you know, give them a pat on the back, it really helps out.
Yeah.
It's important to do it, and it's important to teach your children and your grandchildren to do it, because, you know, our police officers have been vilified.
Yeah.
And
I will say that I'm encouraged because, you know, the other day we, I think it was at the football game for the homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving around, and I saw several young children just waving at us, and it was just wonderful. So, you know, it's encouraging that we still have that out there. So.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here, Mark. God bless you and your efforts. And pass along a hello from us to your colleagues.
Currently 57 degrees in Salem and Roanoke, 55 in Danville, 55 in Bedford, 57 in Lynchburg, and 56 in Amherst.
Righty. 7:35. We're going to have an interview here in just a moment I'm really excited about.
Okay. Well, we'll have that in just a little bit. We, in the meantime, Social Security recipients are going to see a monthly increase, but inflation is expected to level that out. The nearly 70 million Americans, including those here in Central Virginia, should see around a $90 addition to their Social Security check starting next year. However, with rising prices and inflation, it's expected to level out much of that extra cash. The Department of Labor put out the latest inflation numbers yesterday, showing prices are going up on everything from groceries to gas. One Social Security recipient from the Lynchburg area says, when they give us an increase in Social Security, it increases everything else. I've witnessed that. When we get an increase, it's taken away by something else. Medicare premiums go up, Medicaid will go up, so will my rent. The Social Security Administration said the rising cost of living is why nearly 70 million Americans are getting a small boost to their benefits.
Imagine this. I'm going to talk about food.
And shocking.
That has to do with our interview here in just a moment. Krispy Kreme. Switching over, Janet, for Halloween to Krispy Scream.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. beginning Saturday, October 16th, Krispy Scream is being brought back. And the dollar dozen
brought
deal.
Back? I didn't even know it was ever here.
Well, they're bringing it back along with the dollar dozen deal. So, I may have to make a trip up there to Krispy Kreme. Some of the things they're going to have is the Bewitched Broomstick Donut, an unglazed shell donut dipped in purple icing.
As long as it's not a candy corn one.
Right. But, I don't see that on the list, but we do have the Spooky Sprinkle Donut, an original glazed donut dipped in orange icing and topped with Halloween sprinkles. That may be the closest thing you're going to get to candy.
Could be.
Corn.
Yeah.
So there you go. Just in time for Halloween. I will be I'll be looking at them more than I will be eating them.
Good boy.
I'll enjoy it from afar. Now, this next guest that we're getting ready to put on, David Saunders.
Sometimes we worship that from a near instead of afar.
Well, this place has been a staple of Lynchburg for 83 years, David Saunders from, no, is it 86 years, I think.
Yeah.
Correct me, David. I'm getting my numbers wrong. He's from the Tea Room downtown, the Texas Inn. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Good. Is it 86, I think, right?
1935.
Wow.
And was when the Texas Tavern was founded and actually changed its name in 1971 to the Texas Inn. So it's been 86 years for the business and 50 years in the location downtown.
And of course, if you if you're from this area, it's just the Tea Room. And David, I have to tell you this story. My sister and my niece came in, and we were going to go down to the British Tea Room in downtown Lynchburg, the Plowcroft Tea Room. So my youngest son is texting me and wanting to know, you know, what we're doing. And I said, well, I'm meeting your auntie and at the Tea Room. And he's like, oh, cool. Okay, what time are you going to be there? And I'll join you. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe he wants to go get tea. He thought we were coming to the Tea Room, not the Tea Room. So he was hoping for a cheesy Western.
I discovered that place a couple of years ago when I first got into town, and I thought, oh, how unfortunate that people are going to call it the Tea Room. They'll never get any search engine optimization on their website. It'll be difficult for them.
I know, that's right.
Because we've kind of owned that name for a long, long time. Mm. It's been quite a ride these last 3 years since I purchased the establishment.
Yeah, give us, first I want to talk about a technical thing.
And you've done such a great job, let me just say.
Restoring
it and making it what it should be and meeting its full potential, both in Cornerstone and downtown.
Yeah, so from a technical standpoint, construction background and all here, David, why doesn't that building just fall off the edge of the cliff right there? What's holding that thing up?
Well, the one at Cornerstone is only 10 years old, so that's going to be there for quite some time.
Yeah.
No, the building there at Fifth and Main was previously a pure oil gas station.
Okay.
And it was constructed when Main Street was two ways, and it went straight across the old Rivermont Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It has a sizable amount of support underneath it. That was one of the things I looked at a lot before I was at the businesses, and the building owner, Mr. Green, made sure that that building is a solid construction. It's a solid old school cinder block construction, mm-hmm. and it has a weight limit in the parking lot for trucks because
really?
We don't
interesting.
We don't want to tip the scales, but no, it's good and solid and should be there for another 86.
Oh, it's just iconic. That building is iconic, and you've given it a facelift and a fresh coat of paint, and it's just a jewel again. So
yeah, that was the first thing we did in the in September of 2018. We actually shut everything down for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Went through, I had a 8-yard dumpster that I filled to the capacity.
Wow.
Replaced equipment in the kitchen and polished everything up. I even had my kids on their hands and knees, like going through and trying to remove the grime between the grout and the tiles. We spit shined it for a good day and a half, and then reopened, keeping the same menu, but just making a few improvements to bring us into the 21st century.
So, what was your interest? What give us a little of the history for you and the Tea Room? Why you would want to buy it? I know we had a recent purchase of the farm basket. The lady that bought that said, "I drove by this thing for decades and thought I want to own that." And next thing you know, it took a few years, but she's the now new owner of the farm basket. They did a reboot. What brought you to the fact that you wanted to have that Texas Inn?
I was born and raised in Lynchburg. Some of my first, earliest memories was my dad walking down the street from the fire department. His shift ended at 7 a.m. My mom worked at Virginia Baptist as a nurse, and her shift started at 7 a.m. My mom would roll up with my sister and I in our pajamas and drop us at the corner of 5th and Main. Can you imagine doing that today?
No.
Dropping your kindergartners off, you know, your first grader and your kindergartner off in front of the tier. And my dad would walk down the street. He'd grab us by our hands and walk us in, and we'd have breakfast before we went to school. And we did that probably 3 or 4 times a month. Yeah. And it was, you know, when I got my driver's license, my mom would say, can you go downtown and get me some Westerns and a quart of chili? And, you know, and then our prom night. You know,
oh, yeah.
Prom night. There were
absolutely
6 of us in a limo, and we all run in with our tuxes and prom gowns on, and we just thought that was the funniest thing in the world to get yelled at by Janet, you know, at midnight on prom night. Not you, Janet.
I know.
The Janet that worked there years ago.
Right, yes. And that's something that a lot of people share, that memory. They
yeah.
spend time.
And then, yeah, I saw a picture from a Craigslist ad that said local restaurant for sale, and it was a picture of a Western and a bowl of chili.
Uh-huh.
And I went, ooh, I know where that is. You know, and they didn't list the name of it, and people freaked out, and they passed it around on Facebook about 10,000 times. And
wow.
I'm in Richmond, and I went, no, this can't happen. This place can't go away. Hold on.
Yeah.
So I called down to the owner, and I said, I'm going to try to help you find a buyer. And we worked on that for 6 or 7 months, and I couldn't find him one.
Hmm.
So finally I said, all right, I'll buy it. And then it's been a wild ride ever since.
How about
well,
that?
I'll tell you, when COVID's done and we can do events again, I've always wanted to do a Cheesy West Fest. That's always been my dream, is to do a Cheesy West Fest in Lynchburg, because that would be, it would be so great.
One of the things that we are going to have coming up later this month is going to be kind of fun. I've always wanted to do a food challenge.
Okay.
And a couple of years ago, there was the Great Western Challenge, and I think there was a guy that ended up eating like 17 Westerns or something like
Ooh.
That. And this time I want to do it with chili.
Hmm.
And so right before Halloween on October 30th, we're going to do the Great Bowls of Fire Challenge.
Ah, I like
nice.
That. Creative.
It's going to be 72 ounces of chili.
Wow.
And if you eat it in an hour, it's free.
Wow.
And you win a T-shirt that says, I survived the challenge.
Uh-huh.
You win a roll of Tums and a can of Febreze.
Nice.
Well, you've covered all the bases. One of the things, David, just quickly, and we'll wrap it up here, is that I've always been intrigued, let's use that word, when I come down there to the one downtown, and I will walk in to get my, it's an experience, it's not just the food, I get my tea room experience. I will see guys there that appear to be either doctors or lawyers wearing their really super nice outfit, and
That's
then... Everything from that to the guy that just rolled up in his truck who works construction, you cover all the bases, all the eco or economical ranges. That's one of the things that's cool for me, at least, and that culture that you are keeping going. It doesn't matter what your eco status is or what you are, you can show up at the tea room and get you a bowl and get you a Cheesy Western.
And crinkle-cut fries.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, remember, we didn't have crinkle-cut fries until 3 years ago, so that was one of the additions. I had a couple people yelling at me because I brought fries there, but most people are very happy about it.
Very happy.
When I was growing up, I do remember a brief story here. There was a guy sitting there, and he had a suit and tie on, and there was another guy sitting there, he had jeans and a raggedy T-shirt on, and they're sitting there, and they're like, hey, I know you. And he goes, yeah, I know you, and they're trying to figure out where they know each other from. Well, it was the prosecutor and the guy that he'd sentenced to 30 days in jail, and they were both sitting there together, and they realized they'd seen each other in court last week.
Wow.
The guy said... And the prosecutor said, if you keep your nose clean, you'll be out of there in 15 days. And he goes, yeah, but what am I going to do afterwards? I need a job to stay out of trouble. And so he gave him a job sweeping up at the sheriff's office. And,
wow.
And like a couple weeks later when he got out of jail. And apparently they became, buddies.
That's great.
Hearing buddies.
That's good.
And that's the kind of thing that you get there that you really don't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Who knew that a Cheesy
kind of culture
Western
that we wanted to keep going
was
going to
be the great equalizer?
Yeah.
Hey, David, thanks for being with us.
No, I really appreciate it, and I appreciate y'all helping us get the word out about our food drives.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. All the way until January 5th, we're collecting donations for Blue Ridge Area Food Bank.
Okay.
So both locations.
Yep. And when you have that cook-off going on, please get with us, and we'll talk about it, okay?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would
be. Thanks a lot, Mark. Thanks, right. Janet. We appreciate it.
Yes. Talk to you later. David Saunders from the Texas NT Room, and I'm in the mood for
a, I know. I'm thinking we need a tea room run at 9.
Yeah. The Windhurst one is closer.
It is.
I'll just get the fries.
Okay.
You'll thank me later.
Start your mornings on the right foot and listen to The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
I'm trying to get my cardio up, knowing
that we
might get a cheesy Western later.
That's right. You need to get those steps in.
Honey, I'm doing the squirrel dance.
Yeah, yes. I don't know how much that's going to burn, but hey, you know. Whatever. Hey, we've got Life Hack Thursday for you.
Yeah, we do.
We've got another one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You ever have trouble getting like everything out of the can when you're cooking?
Just yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pain.
Just yesterday.
Sometimes. Especially if it's like tomato paste or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's what you do. You open one side of the can, then you flip the can over and open the other side of the can, and then you push out the tomato paste or whatever, or the cream of mushroom or whatever.
It's like a pop-up.
Like a push-up pop.
Yeah.
And you get everything out of the can.
How about that?
Works great.
Okay. All right. All right.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it. I never would have thought of that.
Here's another one.
Okay.
If you, if you're wanting an effective cough syrup, but you don't want all the funky stuff that's in it.
Right.
Scientists say pineapple juice is 5 times more effective than cough syrup.
Pineapple juice.
How? And it's also gets you extra boost of things that you need to fight off colds and flu.
Now that is I wonder how they figured that out.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff when you look at the ingredients of like NyQuil and some of that stuff.
So imagine if you did the pineapple juice with the Jack Daniels. Wow. The trifecta. It's just,
oh, hey,
you could knock anything out that way.
How about you just soak like, so what's that pineapple over there soaking in? Jack Daniels.
There you go. At Christmas we make, it's called Russian tea.
Right.
And that was usually the only time we had pineapple juice. Oh. In the house was around Christmas time, and we would get the big cans.
So you got to tell me how this works. What do you do to make Russian tea?
Russian tea is it does have tea and sugar and lemon and pineapple juice,
right?
And then it's got like some cinnamon and things like that in there. And then you at the very end you put in some ginger ale, and it's like a warm toddy, yumminess. Yeah, it's good. It's very good, but that's the only time I ever remember having it at the house, because Mom probably didn't know how effective it was.
I wonder how long that juice would last, because like if you drain it off and you stick it in the fridge, you know, for later use, because a lot of times you drain the juice to make whatever you're using the pineapples for. You just, you know, I wonder if it'll last a while if you seal it right.
Well, the cans, you can get cans
just full
of pineapple
cans
juice. Just juice.
Right.
My mother always put it
in pulp
over.
In it, or is it strained? Or
usually.
Okay.
And she would keep it in a Tupperware pitcher.
Okay.
Because it can, if you leave it in there, it can get kind of metally. I don't know.
Right.
I don't love it. But
right.
You, if you put it in the Tupperware, it doesn't do that.
Okay.
So much.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody wants to talk about Bezos and his little spaceship.
Okay.
Good morning.
Hey, guys. Funny story. I told my mom to watch that yesterday for Shatner and everything, you know, him being 90, and she's turning 74 this week.
Mm-hmm.
She calls me back, and she's like, what in the world? She said, that Bezos guy's evil and has a problem. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, that looks like a phallic symbol. And I she said, isn't he the same guy that took pictures of his junk?
No, like, I don't think so.
Yeah, he is.
No, I think you're getting that confused with somebody else.
No, he did. Remember, that's why he got divorced, because he was taking inappropriate pictures and his wife found it on his phone.
Oh, jeez.
Y'all remember that?
No. Probably, I wanted to avoid that at all costs. Just seeing his...
but look at his spaceship, man. What the
hell?
Well,
heck? I know.
I started laughing when, I mean, it's like Dr. Evil at the end of that
Austin
Powers movie. You know?
My daughter said that when she has kids, she's going to tell them that's Jeff Bezos. She's going to show them that picture and say that's who it is. Yeah.
Well, so. He might be ruled by the time, you know, she has kids, and I don't know what her plans are, so don't quote
but
me, but he could be the ruler of the world.
I'm laughing so hard at that, you know. But, yeah. I mean, did Beavis and Butthead design a spaceship?
Maybe.
I don't know. Hey, what was the deal that I was trying to work yesterday that I was going to...
Oh, he was going to get you an interview. Yeah.
Yeah, give me an interview with Dagan. Yeah, work on that. Let me know how
that... Get on that, would you?
I'll try to do that. All right. For you, Mark.
That sounds good. And he's right. You look at the spaceship, and it's just an interesting... It just looks interesting.
So, as far as...
Thanks for calling, by the way.
The photos... That is a true story.
I didn't know that about Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And the National Enquirer got them.
They got the pictures?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
The feds say that
I'm sorry.
His girlfriend, now this is, he's married.
Right.
Sent the intimate photos that he sent her to her brother.
Oh,
and he's
what
the one.
In the world?
He's the one that leaked them everywhere. So apparently, he's like, "Hey, I could make some money with this."
Well, yeah,
I'm going to sell them. What a stupid thing for somebody to do!
Well, stupid.
First of all, that's a stupid thing. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't. Do
that's going to come back and and get you.
Yep.
Don't do that.
Yep. But especially, it bites you in the shorts where you should have kept them to begin with.
If you're Jeff Bezos,
right? I mean,
what on earth?
Yeah. I mean, one of the richest guys in the world.
Right.
I mean
just you're just saying, hey, blackmail me.
Yeah. Well, and then you find out about these super uber rich people, like Bill Gates made that agreement with his wife that he could spend a week with
his long-time girlfriend.
Yeah. Every year.
That didn't work out, though.
No, that didn't.
I mean,
either.
It worked out for a little while, but. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of rich ex-wives out there, apparently. Yeah, and then you got, what's her name? I don't remember Tiger's wife's name. I'm sorry, but yeah, there's a lot of rich ex-wives out there. So guys, just behave. That's the best thing I can tell you to do. It's 8:00 almost. We have a guest coming in from Humankind. That'll be fun to talk to Ashley.
Good heavens, it's one guest after another.
I know. We're just knocking them down today.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Morning Jam. Janet will also have a life hack or two for you before we say adios this day. Thanks for being with us.